And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Steve from Huntsville just texted in. He says, hey, Phil, as a gambler who frequents casinos regularly, I can say you don't want them in your community. Okay. He says, everywhere they go, you see a decline in local environment. I like casinos as long as they're in other states. I can visit when I get the urge to go look at the damage they've done to the local people's plight in Atlantic City. Yeah, it's true. And by the way, you often see, and it's just a fact. I'm not saying it might happen. I'm saying it's a fact that you often see increased levels of local political corruption, to include even like law enforcement and other things. It's just not good. There's talk about where they'll be. By the way, what jackleg process is that? Well, we're going to post the bill. You can come and see it. That's not the way democracy works. And by the way, that's also not the way you respect the other members. Like, all right, do you not trust the members of your caucus? Apparently not. Well, somebody might tell the press. So? It's called open meetings. It's called transparency in government. The very idea that we've got a gambling bill that would require a change to our state constitution to bring in something that would then be limiting in terms of its scope because they're going to set up monopolies. Oh, by the way, they're also going to be favorable towards those who have been breaking our laws for so many years. And they won't post the bill online where the world can see it? Why would that be? What do they have to hide? What are they scared? What happened? I guarantee you what they're scared of is that people will begin to mount opposition because they'll see it. They don't want to deal with the opposition. We're going to get this thing. You're going to come down here and you're going to vote. We're going to get this over real quick. Real quick. Get it out of the way. We're going to do this. Get it rammed right on through. Okay, good luck with that. But I'll be honest with you. House leadership, Speaker Ledbetter, I know you personally. You can do better than this. House Whip, you can do better than this. Majority Leader, you can do better than this. Rules Committee Chairman, you can do better than this. Budget Chairman, y'all are better than this. By God, get that bill out where the public can see it. Get it out. I tell you what, here's an idea. Get it out where the members of the elected body of the House of Representatives can actually see it. It's posted. If you want to drive down to Montgomery, you can take a look, but you can't have a copy. Why? I'm a friggin' representative, a member of the House, duly elected by my constituents. They expect me to see the legislation before the body and know what it says so that I can vote accordingly. And you're going to set it in a room where it can not be seen until you drive down 2.5 hours from home. Take a look at it. Don't make any notes. Don't tell anybody. Certainly don't take a picture. And we can't give you a copy. What are you doing?
We were just talking about it on the break, and I was telling you that I don't want my tax dollars going to that.
No.
You know?
It's a sham.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, yes, I agree. I get it. And I don't know for a fact, but I would bet that part of what's in there is going to be tax incentives to help to get these casinos started.
Mm-hmm. That's exact.
Okay. Gary from Decatur says, we aren't going to be red for long if the AEA has the power to put Wes Kitchens in the Senate. Oh, wow. And maybe behind the push to put Sarah Stewart at the head of the Alabama Supreme Court. That's what's happening. That's the push right now. If they can water down, some of the bodies of governance that we have, they can get their way back into power. And I know that politics is cyclical, all right? Things go around and they come around. They go around and they come around. I get it. But you don't have to go quietly. You don't. And I would suggest that if we're going to be a red state, then we need to act like a red state. And I am, and by the way, I'm not that guy who's just opining because I read something, all right? I spent 8 years down there, and I went down there and flipped it from Democrat. I joined the others and flipped it from Democrat to Republican. And then I was on the state executive committee for about 10 years. I was a county party chairman. I know of that which I speak. And I'm just going to tell you, they are running the risk right now of getting this thing into a posture where we are just squishy. We're not even red. We're just pink. Maybe purple even, depending upon where you live in the state. And granted, I know that there are some There are some blue pockets, certainly, Montgomery, Birmingham. But the state is vast majority red meat, and we want it to stay that way. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one, Alabama. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, today is U.S. Senator Katie Britt's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Senator Britt from Right Side Radio. Yeah, many more. I see a lot of folks saying that on social media. So, there you have it. Katie Britt's birthday. Happy birthday to her. So are we a red state? I'm going to finish this up. Two great discussions there with State Rep Ben Harrison and Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. In case you did not know, you know, aside from things like they raised the gas tax. By the way, the lovely Charlene just texted me a minute ago, and she said, this gambling bill smacks of the gas tax. Well, if you remember a few years ago, the beginning of this quadrennium, they came in and just, it was last quadrennium, they came in and just smacked the gas tax through. Told all the freshmen, here's how it's going to be. You will get on board. We're doing this first thing. We're not wasting any time. We're coming out the gate with a gas tax. And every single one of us started paying more at the pump. And it's now 10 cents higher per gallon in Alabama than it was a few years ago because of the new gas tax. Allegedly, there's lots of new roads. That's good. But then if you remember, too, during COVID, when other states were waiving their gas tax, trying to lower the cost of living for people who were out of work, not Alabama. We couldn't do that. No, no, no. Well, something else that really bugs me is this article from Politico. Politico. You know, that like uber-liberal magazine, right? Headline, the politics of change. The South warms up to expanded health benefits. Let me make sure we understand what expanded health benefits means. That's a catchy phrase for Obamacare's Medicaid expansion. That's what that is. When they passed Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, which is not really that affordable, when they passed it, part of it was not just expansion of benefits and other things that were tagged in. And there was also the dangling carrot of, hey, the federal government will send the states a whole lot of money if you'll expand your Medicaid. Yeah, they'll send us a whole lot more money for a few years, after which we pick up the tab. So they'll get you started, get you hooked, get you addicted, can't get out of it. And then at that point, and this was like back in, 2011, the expansion of Medicaid would have left the state of Alabama paying an additional $234 million a year at that point. Medicaid right now consumes a huge chunk. Like right now, Medicaid and corrections are over 50% of the general fund budget in Alabama. 24% of all Alabamians are on some form of Medicaid already. It's an entitlement, let's be sure. It's an entitlement. And they want to expand it, which means you open the door for more participation, more people who are otherwise able-bodied, some of whom are working, their income might be sufficient. And I know, because we have to buy our own health insurance, I know how much it costs. But I'm just saying, at some point, we run out of other people's money. Well, the move is on, according to Politico. Hey, look, joy of joys, it says in this article, Alabama Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter is one of those Southerners who seems to be warming up to the idea of the expansion of Medicaid. Come on. It goes on to talk about how much it would cost and basically why it's so necessary and how Governor Ivey's staff has multiple times since this past December talked about such a proposal. You watch. I think, too, and here's the thing. I don't think they're going to expand Medicaid. I've never seen a real clear push for that. I think there's a dangling carrot right now to get the gambling bill passed. Hey, Democrats, we'll let you have an up or down vote on the idea of Medicaid expansion if you'll give us your votes on gambling. Yeah, watch and see. Other things that are happening, though, and just be aware. I am pleased with this. The Alabama Republican Party issued its priority list. Right now, their legislative priority, keep in mind, the session starts next week. The legislature goes into session next Tuesday. And next Tuesday through probably, what, May, I guess, they'll be down there 3 days a week dealing with bills. The Alabama Republican Party is asking them to please enact universal school choice, cap our property tax increases so that we don't seeing exponential increases, work on a comprehensive workforce development for Alabama, medical freedom, which, by the way, means get rid of that state health officer and get us one who's actually appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate, establishing a women's bill of rights, which is going to deal with things like transgenders in sports and that kind of stuff, and then a bolstering of election integrity. I'm for all those things. I think that's worthy. That's the kind of stuff that people in the state, I think, really want. Now, granted, some are going to want gambling. Some are going to want Medicaid expansion. I understand that. I'm talking about the majority. And right now, that's how politics is. Like it or not, elections have consequences. We are a majority Republican state. And the state Republican Party has issued what it hopes will be the agenda items that get enacted. Not really seeing a true comprehensive plan from the House. And by the way, forgive me, House leadership. If it's out there, you're welcome to send it to me. I'd love to see it. But in my review this morning, trying to get the show ready, did not see that. What I did see, though, was the Senate does have a short list of priorities. So the Alabama House, I don't know. Alabama Senate, according to a story here on Yellowhammer that came out yesterday afternoon, State Senator Greg Reed, who is the pro tem of the Alabama Senate, he says that the number one priority, first of all, is a bill by State Senator Garland Gudger that restricts ballot harvesting in elections. So that's a big deal, y'all. We got places out there like California and Pennsylvania where they can pay somebody to go by the nursing home, stand there while everybody fills out all their ballots and then collect them all up, and I'll return these for you. It'll be great. Seal that up in that envelope, sign your name to it. I'll take that for you. Thank you. Or for that matter, they walk door to door in the apartment building. Have you filled out your ballot yet? Do you have it? Can I get that for you? Let me take care of that. Or then here's the other trick. We'll give you a ride to the polls. Here's a sample ballot. That's not true ballot harvesting, but it's one of their usual tricks. But another ballot harvesting trick they use is just to go door to door with the opportunity for you to fill out your absentee ballot request. Tell them you're not going to be able to vote that day. Fill out your absentee ballot request. You get that. I'll come by next week and pick it up from you. How do I vote? I don't know how to vote. Oh, we can help you with that. Ballot harvesting does not need to happen. You know what? We lived for a couple of centuries plus without ballot harvesting. In fact, we lived for a couple of centuries plus with getting the returns in pretty quick on time, too. Alabama is one of those states that you walk in, you show your photo ID, you vote in person on paper, and we have the votes in that night. How hard is that? And by the way, we're not one of the small states. We're not New York or California. I know that. But we have 5.4 million people. I mean, that's bigger than, I want to say, 30% of the states. And we get ours in same day. All that to say, I really do like that priority from the state Senate. I think it's a good one. It's an absolutely worthy. And the other one they have is meaningful, or they call it impactful school choice. Now, they don't specify what the bill is, but they do talk about Senator Larry Stutz being a part of the process, and he was the one that had what was called the Price Act last year. And the Price Act was a great piece of legislation. I loved it. Of course, it went down in flames, but I loved it. So we'll see what meaningful or impactful school choice looks like. And then the other one that they say they're going to focus on in the Alabama State Senate is limiting the ability to raise our property taxes past a certain point. You see the annual reassessments every year. And people, you know, get their taxes raised. What's crazy is when you wake up one day and realize that apparently overnight your house is taxed at 20% higher than it was. Well, that shouldn't be. So they would limit it. And I believe the bill is going to limit it no more than 4 or 5% possible growth per year. That's manageable. I would assume none. but I get it. Some things happen. As long as they allow for depreciation as well, please. Thank you very much. So, are we a red state? Well, there's a lot of things going on that are a little fluffy. Some are really solid. Things that could happen this session are really, really positive. And then you got the usuals. Are we going to let school choice die? Are we going to not affect property taxes? Are we going to not tighten up on election integrity? Are we going to spend a lot of time passing a gambling bill because that's so important? I don't know. Are we a red state or are we a pink state? Or are we just like a purple state? I don't know. More to come on it. A couple of text messages before I go. David from Huntsville says, Phil, loved your rant on the gambling, the House leadership, and posting the bill. Maybe they ought to post it at Pelosi's house. Downright stupid. And then somebody else said, James from Huntsville, brand spanking new in the text line. He says, yeah, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. Sounds very familiar. It's wrong no matter which party it is. You are correct, sir. James, welcome to the text lines. Rap from Athens says, gas tax and Katie Britt, was she not paid to lobby for it? Not that I recall. I think she worked at the BCA, but I think the BCA took a negative stance on it, if I recall. I'm not sure. That's been a while. Rap, I'll look back into it. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, please encourage all the right side ruffians to write or call their state senators and state reps about opposition to this awful gambling bill. I wrote to mine yesterday, and as you likely already know, Sam Gavan is against it. Hey, TL, you make a great point. So before I go to the break, let me say this. And I mean this all sincerity, your state legislators are just real people who live in your communities, and they are far more accessible than you might think they are. And listen, don't just get on one of those cookie-cutter emails that all you do is you click on it and it fills in your name and they get 932 copies of the exact same email. That does not carry any weight whatsoever. When I was in the Senate for 8 years, I would get those mass production emails sometimes. I would have lobbyists, of course, a lot of times. I would have people coming by that, you know, wanted to shout, or I'd get, you know, lampooned in the AEA journal or whatever the case may be. The thing that made a difference was when a well-reasoned, well-read constituent would call me and go, hey, Senator, you got a minute? Listen, that bill, here's what my concerns are, or here's why I think that's a really good idea, or please vote this way. And I would have a dialogue with them. I mean, I didn't care when my cell phone number was put. The AEA thought it was funny to try and dox my cell phone number. They didn't know I gave it out to everybody anyway. I knew some legislators that changed their numbers on the drop of a hat. I just left my number. I've had the same number now for 20 years. All that to say, your legislators are very accessible. They have phones. Everybody in the Senate has their own secretary. Everybody in the House usually has like a group secretary. They all have a lot of them have local delegation offices right there in your community. Not everybody, but a lot of local delegations have a local delegation office. You can request a chance to meet them. And oh, by the way, let me encourage you to this. I want to really encourage you, if you've never done this, go down to the legislature, to the state house, during the session. Tuesday and Thursdays are usually the days they're in. Tuesday, a lot of times they go into session after lunch because people are still driving down for the morning. And they go into the chambers and they start passing bills and debating bills in the afternoons. Wednesdays is usually office days and committee meetings days. I want to encourage you, go down there and see them. And if you got a group of you, go down as a group. Ask for an opportunity to stop by and just shake the hand of your senator or representative. Tell them what you care about. Thank them for their time. Be polite, be respectful, but tell them firmly if you're concerned about something. They are absolutely real people who do a part-time job, and they need to hear from you, and you can do that. All right, let's take a break, brother. Big Rig on the board. We will take the break right now. We'll come right back, and I'm switching gears. I'm going to talk about something entirely different. You ready? Let's switch gears. Keep on trucking. That's next. We'll be right back.